Welcome on Orthodox Academy's podcast. Learning more about today's science with Jeanne Laperouse and our guests. Have a good listening.
Welcome to this episode of Orthodox Academy podcast. I'm today with Bogdan Sevastre. Hello, Bogdan.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. We're happy to have you here. You are from the University of Agricultural Science and Veterinary Medicine in Romania, and you are the director of the ROCAM Center, the 3R centers in Romania. Can you tell us how was this center created?
ROCAM Center, it's the only 3R center in Romania. And it is supported and by the University of Agricultural Science of Cluj-Napoca. This is a city in the middle of Transylvania, is the historic capital of Transylvania. That center has been initiated in June 2015 by a small but a very enthusiastic team of young scientists. A very important contribution in this initiative was to my colleague, Lucian Furcal. In the beginning, the center was coordinated by Professor Carmen Socaciu. And now, from 1 year, I am in charge with coordinating this center and keeping it going for the future. We are basically a small center. We don't have so many people, and we do not have our own employers. So all the people activating in that center are in fact employers of the university, and we are supported of the university. So we do not have our own facilities. We receive constant support for the university for everything which we are doing.
Thank you. And what are the activities of the center? What do you do to promote the 3Rs?
The most important activities of the center was centered on education. Because we are a small center and we don't have so many research facilities, we focus on promoting the 3R into the scientific community of Romania. So our main activity was focused on workshops, conferences, presentations, and workshops associated to various conferences, in which we promoted the 3Rs for the young scientists in Romania. We had many activities like this. For example, we had a toxicology 3R conference lectures in November 2015, in which Professor Francesca Calloni from University of Milan had a presentation related to alternative methods to animal testing used in toxicological studies. And we had a workshop in Celtox, organized by Celtox company, in which they present in vitro technology. We had in 23 February 2017 a workshop on replacement method used using artificial skin models, which was held during the national conference of the Romanian Society of Pathophysiology in September 2017. And we had many presentations like this, in which we tried to convince young Romanian scientists that the alternative methods are reliable and useful methods which can be used instead or together with laboratory animal studies for a better science. So basically our aim was to educate people. I think Romania needs a lot of training and education in this area of alternative methods and also in responsible use of laboratory animal science. We also had a significant activity in not only in replacement, but also in the rest of the other two 3Rs, reduction, refinement, promoting education in, I would say, responsible use of laboratory animals. So in this point of view, people involved in our center was very active as implementing the Directive 63/2010 in the Romanian legislation. Personally, I'm a member of the National Committee, which advise the national state authority related to politics on the laboratory animal science, and I was on the people who was directly involved in transposing the directive in the Romanian legislation. And I can say with a lot of satisfaction that today the European legislation is fully implemented in Romanian legislation at the day we speak, which was a significant achievement, I think.
What did this directive change in Romania, in the legislation in particular?
Yes. Because of this directive, the legislation of was not so so restrictive and was not so very clear. Once the directive was transposed in the national legislation, we already have now very clear criteria for authorization of the laboratory animal establishments. We implement project authorization procedures, and we have much more, surveillance on everything which is done on the laboratory animals. The reporting of laboratory animal use is much better. And we already have made the first steps in the area of education and training for the people involved in laboratory animal science. So we are working to regulate it and to implement some educative system for the people in the area, which will obviously, it's essential for refinement and promoting the responsible use of laboratory animals.
One of the aspects of the directive is the transparency of the animal use in science. Can you tell us how they are used in Romania? Do you have some data to share with us?
Yes, I have some data related to the animal use in Romania. The last data, which are available on the website of the State National Veterinary Authority, which is the official authority responsible to surveillance in laboratory animal science. They are from 2019. In Romania have been used 13,600 animals, which is not so much, I would say. The big difference between Romania and other EU countries is that in Romania we are not using non-human primates. No monkeys are used. We don't use dogs, we don't use cats, and they haven't been reporting also zebrafish and cephalopods. So that animals are not used in Romania. I would say, unfortunately, we don't use fish because they are a reliable model and they suffer less than rats and rabbits. So I think using fish may be an idea which should be promoted in the future. I'm quite happy that in my country, we don't use that sensitive species like primates, dogs, and cats. And I think that's a very good thing. We don't have authorized establishments for this. When we speak about what animals are we using, by far the most common animals are mice, 700,600 mice, and rats are quite close, 4,000 and a half. Other rodents are guinea pigs, hamsters are, quite a few, and not 200 rabbits, so not so many. And the other animals are quite very few. Interestingly, they are still used a significant number of frogs. When we speak about the purpose of the animals which has been used, we can say that most of the animals are used in transnational and applied research. For example, above 4,000, and almost 2,000 were used in basic research, and 1,000 in regulatory use and routine production. I would say that we also have some animals used for educational purpose, including mice, rats, and a lot of frogs. So by looking on that data, I think that in Romania, it's still a lot of room for reduction, in my opinion. So personally, my experience in my university, and that was a success of our 3R Center, and I consider also a personal success, that I managed to convince people to not longer use laboratory animals for training students. So in our university, we don't do any experiment, any procedures for animals for students training. We replace them for a long time with videos, with any other materials. I'm also in charge with an optional lecture of laboratory animal science for undergraduate students. But even in this lecture, we do not do any procedures on animals. I just present them clinical evaluation of the animal and handling of the animals, but no invasive procedures are made for that purpose. So, and I think other faculties in Romania and Europe should do the same, I think.
What are the barriers to the adoption of alternative methods in Romania, in your opinion?
Actually, I think we have many barriers. First of all, when you remove the laboratory animal procedures, for example, we speak about activities with students. When you try to replace them with something else, that's a lot of work. You have to think what to put instead. And most of the people just don't want to change something. They want to keep things as they are because it's easy that way. And this is why there is some resistance, because replacing what you do with something else, that requires a significant amount of work. But that's possible. For example, I can share my own experience, because when I was a young assistant professor in the beginning of, I finished my faculty in 98. I did a lot of demonstrative experiments on laboratory animals, including rats, mice, rabbits, just for, let's say, explaining the pathologic mechanisms for the students. And then very soon, I fully realized that what I was doing was not right. First of all, because that animal suffered totally unnecessary, and that animal studies were not relevant enough for the students. So this is why I, instead of making animals sick, I prefer collecting samples from the clinic. I prepare collecting data and discuss case studies from real animal for the clinic. So this way, nobody dies, nobody suffers. And instead of inducing some experimentally induced disorders, you can discuss some real case. And then I may slowly the movement of the pure mechanism-based pathophysiology to clinical pathology, which I think is by far more useful for students than just discussing some pure theoretical mechanisms induced in some laboratory animals. And I think that experience should be shared with other people, for example. For example, instead of inducing a kidney failure in a rabbit, you remove the kidney and you see how they die because you remove the kidney. You can take a real case of kidney failure and do some tests and discuss the laboratory tests based on it, and it's even more relevant for the students. And you can do some urine analysis, and it's more relevant for the veterinary students than a case which is artificially diseased. So at least this is what I consider. And I think I was quite surprised that I see that frog experiments in which I think they belong to 18th century. When they remind me of the Pavlov experiments. Well, they were great for their time. but I don't think the medical and biological students have a very big benefit by just cutting, being taught how to cut the head of the frog or something like this. I don't think they are prepared for the modern molecular biology this way, in my opinion. And I was very, very surprised because I'm teaching in the international line in my university, that this kind of frog experiments are still going on in Western countries like France. And that was quite a big surprise for me, because in my university, we ended them in 90s. And I think that experiments are very bad for another purpose. They give munition to fundamental anti-animal experiment activists to fight against laboratory animal experiments. Some of them are useful, but not this. These are totally useless, and they compromise the science of laboratory animals, I think.
So in your opinion, some experimentation of animals are completely out of date, but some other are necessary?
Yes, so that's also another very important issue, because we all know that at European level, especially in Europe, there is a very important, let's say, activity of laboratory animal science activists, people who fight against laboratory animal science, and they create the real pressure of people working in that area. In Romania, at that point, we don't have that problem, but I know that my colleagues in Western countries they have that problem. They create a strong pressure on the decision factors. Everybody know about the European initiative Stop Vivisection, which asked the European Parliament to stop the laboratory animal experiment. Everybody know that in Switzerland it was a referendum related to this. And at European level, we have Holland, which has a clear purpose to stop laboratory animals until a certain year. I'm not sure exactly. But they really want to be the first country in the world who stopped laboratory animal experiment. And what I can see in some public discussion is that animal activists are getting a little bit nervous. So they create the pressure for a very certain term in which the laboratory animals should be forbidden. Well, I would say this is simply not realistic because, we have a vote of the European Parliament which urge people in the 3R area to do more research. That's not bad. We need more research. We need to invest money in finding replacement methods. Not only because they save the life of the animals, but replacement methods also push a little bit further the boundary of the science. So they are quite important for the biological point of view. So it's good to invest money. But when you pay money for research, you cannot know what will be the result of the research. So you assume that the results will be positive, but you cannot know for the beginning if it's a real research. It's not simply not things don't go this way in a true research. So actually, I think that certain terms are simply artificial and not realistic and not based on science. And the results will be, basically, we can stop laboratory animal experiment in one country. We can stop laboratory animal experiment in all European community. We just have a law and it's over. But that will not stop laboratory experiment worldwide. So all that laboratory animal studies, all that company who work on that area will move elsewhere in other country. I do not want to pronounce their name, But everybody knows that there are many parts in the world in which laboratory animal science are very, very poorly regulated. I am a reviewer for important journals on studies conducted on animals. And I can tell you that in another part of the world, people are very, very careless when they say about the caring of the laboratory animals. So I've seen procedures which are totally unacceptable in Europe. I don't want to go into much details, but I can tell you that there are many parts of the world in which people don't care about laboratory animals, and they will be quite happy to welcome that companies in their country. So instead of reducing suffering of animal, we just export them outside. Well, we may choose to close our eyes and to say, okay, we solved the problem in our boundary, but they will go elsewhere and they will continue. And if we choose not to see them, it's our option. But I don't think that's a solved problem. It's just a way of closing the eyes in front of the reality. And on the other hand, we lose an important part of our research and of our income at the European level. And I think part of the problem are we, the scientists, because animal activists are very active on Facebook, on internet. They have a lot of websites, they do a lot of activity. While we people involved in research, we just stay in our ivory tower and spend time in all our conference and speak to each other and make very few time to speak to the general public and to explain that point. And this is why I think that kind of discussions are very important, because we have to make time to speak to the general public, to explain a point of view. And I think the battlefield for that laboratory animal science is the public opinion. So I think we should promote not totally banned of laboratory animal studies, but responsible use of them. Replacement anytime it's possible, but bound them just by a law artificially will not solve the problem, but will make things worse and will have a very negative impact on European research and even European economy, I would say.
We were starting just before that I asked this question to talk about the barriers. And you mentioned the resistance to change, but maybe there are other that you want to mention?
Yes, and that's something also interesting, because we people involved in laboratory animal science, we are bad people for everybody. We are bad people for animal protection activists because we use laboratory animals, but in the same time, at least in Romania, I do not know in other countries, we are bad people for our colleagues, scientists, because especially some old generations say, okay, I know what I'm doing, just don't bother me with that care for the mice and rats. So we have to fight not only with the animal activists, but also with people involved in science, and to explain them that happy animals make good science. So laboratory animal science is not against science, but if you know what to do on that animals, then you can have better scientific results. I can give you a very easy example. For example, in behavioral study, if you catch a mouse by the tail and you just jump it in an open field, that mouse will be stressed and that response to the open field will be changed. So you will get wrong scientific results. But if you know how to handle it properly using, for example, the tunnel method, which is the new method of handling mice, then you don't stress the animal and you get the proper result in the open field test. So animal protection and animal welfare is not against good science, but it works along it. And also that's a solution for that crisis of laboratory and animal science reproducibility. You know that we are living now in a reproducibility crisis. So the most important part of the scientific community consider that we have a reproducibility crisis in the laboratory animal studies. But the problem is even higher. In my opinion, and not only my opinion, that reproducibility crisis does not affect only the animal studies, but they affect biological research in general, including cell culture and any other methods. And that's because of lack of regulations. For example, if you work for pharmaceutical companies, you have a very well-regulated procedures you have to follow. We don't have them in scientific and academic research. And that actually is the source of reproducibility crisis. First, it's badly done science. Secondly, is the lack of ethics. People are under big pressure to publish a lot. And if you push people to publish a lot, sometimes they may think to change some data just to go to skip. That's why we have a reproducibility crisis. And usually the reviews are not so deeply made. You cannot check what they really do. You check only what they have written. And if they know what to write, then they can publish wrong data. And you have no options possibilities to check actually what they do. And that's actually on the source of reproducibility crisis. And I think good methods and a standardized way of doing things and promoting a quality in the laboratory animal science can promote also a better science. And some of our colleagues obviously don't understand this. I do not know in other parts of the world, but in our country, I really face a serious resistance. This is why I do have a hope in the new generation. And I'm teaching laboratory animal science for quite a long time. So I have quite a lot of experience in doing this. And I see how students change a little bit. In the beginning, I have two categories of students, those who reject totally the laboratory animal studies and others who do not care about laboratory animals. And slowly by slowly, you bring all of them in the common view, responsible use of laboratory animal science. And I'm working a lot with young students and young PhD students and told them about human endpoints, told them about how can we reduce the severity, about how can we design a proper study with as few suffering as we can. How can we reduce the number of animals by using a statistical method? How can we make a protocol to reduce the number of animals used? And I have success because usually young people are more permeable to these ideas. And even now, when I see my generation, things are not so well, but I'm quite optimistic. When I speak for the future, I see a new generation of students and PhD students growing up with this education of 3R principle, because that's actually in the heart of the ethic in laboratory animal science.
Thank you, Bogdan. This is there is hope with the next generation of scientists to accelerate the development and adoption of the alternative methods and also the refinement and reduction. Thank you very much. Is there anything you would like to add to conclude this podcast?
Oh, well, I think that kind of discussions are really very important. Because as I said before, every scientist has a duty to speak to the people. And it's important that our voice is heard at the level of public opinion. And what you do, it's actually very good. I had very, very few opportunities to speak in that situation. For example, I have also an interview for a Romanian reporter. But usually, when you explain things and when you promote transparency, when you talk to people, I think the people may change the view about what we are doing. And slowly by slowly, I think public opinion will understand that people working in that area are not just some sadistic people who like to torture animals, but they are scientists and they are animal loving people, most many of them. And we are we are doing our best to do a responsible use of laboratory animal science. Thank you very much for providing me that opportunity.
With pleasure. Thank you very much, Bogdan, for taking the time to talk with us today. Thank you so much. And All the best to you in your endeavor to promote good science and animal welfare in science. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you wish to learn more about the 3R centers and the alternatives to animal testing, check out our website, academy.altatox.be. You enjoyed this podcast? Please leave a review on Facebook and other social media.